You stand with me, please, this morning, and if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Corinthians. We're going to be looking at chapter 10 there. I'll just forget about my introduction that I made it through last week. We'll just jump right into the message. Is that all right? We're talking about becoming a warrior for Christ. The Bible tells us to be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, to put on the whole armor of God, and once we have done that, having done all, it says, can't do part of it, can't do half of it. You have to do all of it. And once you do that, you stand. Because you can be assured that the devil's going to hit you with his best shot. Some of you felt like that this past week, didn't you? Or this past month. But you know what? He's hit you with his best shot, and you're still standing. You're still here. And that's why we need the armor of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4 says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." Strongholds. Strongholds that are in your life, they're in my life, they're in the lives of our children and our grandchildren, that are in our community, sometimes even in our church. But our weapons are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of these strongholds. "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." If you become a Christian and you have a lot of people around you that are not Christians, and you start attending church and you start reading the Bible and you start learning the things of God, you're going to get accused of being brainwashed. But that's all right. Your brain needed washed. My brain needed washed. Because God needs to renew our minds. He needs to transform our minds. He needs to change our way of thinking and our way of viewing life. And he does that through the Word of God so that he can cast down imaginations. You know, imaginations are not real. Those are the things that you see in your mind and you see in your heart. And I'll give my age away, but I remember years ago when I was a little kid, they came out with these slide projector things that you could put, you know, a strip in, and you could, mine had Casper. I think I got it from the Goodwill and half of the slides were missing, but when you would put it up on the wall, there'd be this big ghost on the wall. That's about how much power the devil has in your life if you are a child of God born of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Because what he does is he paints all those scary goblins. He makes them look bigger than they are. And he just tries to absolutely freak you out. But God's Word will help you to bring those wild imaginations down. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and it bringing into captivity, it says, every thought to the obedience of Christ. The biggest battle you're ever going to fight in any battle that you face is what goes on in the battlefield of your mind. You've got to keep your eyes on Jesus. You say, but it's storming. Keep your eyes on Jesus. You say, but I'm sinking in the waves. Keep your eyes on Jesus. Always, amen. He walks on water. Bring every thought into the obedience of Christ. When the devil knocks on the door and says this, say, but yeah, but my God says this. Would you bow your heads? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this beautiful Lord's Day. I thank you for this beautiful weather. Lord, it seems that spring has come in February, but we know we're being teased, Lord God, but Father, it just sets a light and a fire and encouragement and hope in our heart, as all of spring does, that God, this too shall pass, and Lord, things will be made over again new because of you and your great love. Father, I ask that you would touch every one of our hearts and minds here this morning. Help us as you have commanded us and instructed us to put on the whole armor of God. Father, help us to recognize it. Help us to hear it. Help us to put it on. Help us to be strong in you and in the power of your might is our prayer. God, I pray that you would touch the weak. I pray that you would touch the depressed and the downtrodden. I pray that those that are filled with your joy and your presence right now, help them to drink of the waters of life deeply, Lord God. Because, Father, tribulation and trial we have in this world, and it comes to all. But clothe us in your love, clothe us in your armor, and help us, Lord, to be more than conquerors through you that loves us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. I've already shared with you that the battle that we are in as Christians and what the Christian life is about is that there is a battle between good and evil. There is a battle between darkness and light. There is a battle between an eternity lost and without hope and without God. And there is a battle that you might win and be victorious. Jesus said, "He that overcomes will sit down with me in my Father's house, and they will become a pillar in the temple of my God in eternity." We need to overcome the flesh. We need to overcome sin. We need to overcome the world. We need to overcome the devil. And this is not just a skirmish. It is a life and death battle, and it's a life and death struggle to the finish. It isn't enough to just be saved and be on fire and be a shining light for God for, you know, a couple months or a year or two or five, and then let the devil destroy you. We have to persevere until the end. So we need to be clothed in the whole armor of God. And the reason we do is what I just read, because this warfare that we're in is not a human warfare. It's not a natural warfare. It is a spiritual warfare. The Bible said that you and I are not supposed to be fighting each other, but there are principalities and powers, wickedness in high places. It's talking about the spiritual realm that are out to destroy you. The devil has come to steal and to kill and to destroy every part of your life and being that he possibly can, and ultimately he wants your soul. Jesus Christ came that you might have life, that you might have life abundant in this life. I'm glad that, you know, all of the good things of God aren't by and by in the great by and by. God wants you to have an awesome life in this life, a good life, a healthy life, a whole life, a peaceful life, a joyful life, a happy life. He wants all that, and he wants to give you heaven too. But you got to put on the armor of God. You've got to fight this battle with the weapons that God gives you. You cannot fight the devil on your own. You cannot fight the devil by yourself. That's why we need each other. We need God. We need everything that God has. So we're going to look at this armor today. And I don't want to blow your illusion of the Bible, but how many of you know that 2/3 of the New Testament was written by a jailbird? It was. The Apostle Paul had an encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus, saw him face to face. Up to that time, he had been a persecutor, a hater of Christianity, which was then called the Way. He had hated it so much that he was going around to all the governors in every town and every city and all the magistrates, and he was getting warrants to go arrest them, to have them thrown to the lions and crucified and tortured and put in jail. And Jesus Christ met him on the road to Damascus, because Paul was doing all that thinking he was doing God's service. Jesus said, in the last days, we're going to come into times where people that kill you and kill me are going to think they're doing God's service. But Paul's heart and Paul's life was changed, and he began to preach for and began to preach the gospel that he had once persecuted. And he told everybody when he was preaching, he said, "I'm the least of all people that should be doing this because I persecuted the church of God. But God in his wonderful grace and mercy has saved me, and I proclaim to you this gospel that will set you free from sin." And then all the people that he had once sided with were so angry at him, because he had been their chief sheriff. He had been their chief Gestapo. And now he had turned to the faith that he once persecuted, and most of the time spent most of the rest of his life locked up and in prison. And why was there, God, the Holy Ghost, breathed through him 2/3 of the New Testament, these letters that we have after the Gospels that we call the New Testament. I said all that to say this. It doesn't matter where you start, doesn't matter where you've been, doesn't matter what you've done. If you will turn to God and give him your heart and life, he will use you mightily as you go through this life. Amen. Now you need to look with me in Ephesians, and you need to look there where it says in verse 13. We're in Ephesians 6, verse 13. It says this. It says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God." the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against, withstand the evil day. And it says, and having done all, to stand. If you will read through this, like we're going to in a few minutes, one of the things you're going to see is that you are completely clad in armor. What inspired the Apostle Paul to write this portion of Scripture was the anointing of the Holy Spirit as he sat in a jail cell looking through the bars at an elite Roman soldier who was one of the most powerful weapons of the day. He was the stealth bomber of his day. This Roman soldier with his headgear and his helmet and his breastplate and his shins covered and with his sword at his side, Paul is there, and Paul said, by the Spirit of God, I see what a Christian's supposed to be. They were the elite armored guard of the Roman Empire. And Paul is looking at them, and he is inspired by them, and first thing he says is, put on the whole armor of God. You need it all. Too many people start serving Jesus and you know, it's like, I like this part about serving God, and I like that he did this in my life, and I like that he did the other thing. But then we start encountering things that don't look quite so comfortable, that don't look quite so convenient about how God wants us to live. And if we're not careful, we think, you know, that the Bible becomes a bag of trail mix, that we can just pick out the parts we like and eat those parts and leave the rest laying. But that's not the case, because the enemy's real. The devil is real. You can play games with your pastor. You can play games with your family. You can play games with the people that you work with. But guess what? The devil will find you out if you're not the real deal. You can't play games with him. You need all that God has for you. So put on the whole armor of God. Now, one of the things you're going to see about this armor as we go down through here, there's nothing for your back. You can't run. Don't ever run. And I say this all the time, and some of you still do this. The devil will come, and he'll hurt you, or he'll cause you to stumble, or he'll cause you to fall, or he'll cause you to get depressed, or he'll cause you to make a mistake. And you'll be gone from church for a month. And when you get back, I'll say, hey, where have you been? Oh, Pastor Ken, I really wasn't doing that good and wasn't living that well, and I blew it over here, and, you know, this has been going on in my life. And I'm like, why have you been gone? Because this is what I tell people all the time. When those times come, don't run from God, run to God. When you least likely feel like you want to be around Christians, you want to be in church, you want to come to Bible studies, you want to do the things that help you to stay strong in the Lord. When you feel the least like doing that, that's when you need to tell yourself, don't walk by feelings, walk by faith, and run toward God, not away from him. That's the exact reason you're going through some of those things. The devil is trying to stop you. He's trying to get you to quit. He's trying to get you to slow down. And I don't care if you got to crawl toward God, not away from him. Don't try to fix it yourself. He is a Savior. He's your Savior. If you could do it, you wouldn't need him. That's why he came and died for you. Run toward him. But also it says, put on the whole armor of God. And then it says, having done all, do everything that you can. Don't try to live for God just doing the bare necessities to just get by and barely stay saved every day and every week that you live. Do all that you can. Jesus said, straight is the gate, narrow is the way, few there be that find it. He said, man, if you go out in a field and you find a pearl in that field, go and sell everything you have and buy that pearl. He was talking about the kingdom of God. Do whatever you got to do, but put on the armor of God. Do everything you can to stand. I'm going to say it again. I've probably said it 100 times, if not 1,000, in the past 30 years. If every person was sitting here looking me in the eye that was once one of my church members, once walked with God, once served God, once was in the armory of God, who no longer is, this whole 30-acre property couldn't hold them all. Don't think that if you play around and you know, you laze around and you just think, man, I'm just going to, you know, somehow just accidentally end up in heaven one day, that's not going to happen. Do all that you can. Verse 14 said, stand therefore. When you're in the whole armor of God, there are times when the devil's going to challenge you, and the only thing you can do, you'll just reach a place where there is no more forward movement. But don't back up. Don't quit, and don't run. Just stand. And if you can't stand up, kneel down and call on the name of the Lord. You're going to come to the Red Sea sometimes, and the enemy's going to be behind you with his chariots. You're going to run into things that you think you absolutely cannot get through. But if you're a child of God and you're seeking the Lord and you're putting on that armor, even when you can no longer move forward, you don't have to move backward. Just stand. Been there many times, Sister Kathy. I've been there many times when I've had to look at the heavens and say, I don't understand. I don't know how. I don't know what's going on. I don't know how we're going to fix this. I don't know how we're going to get through this. But here I am, God. I got to wait on you. But I'm going to stand. I'm not backing up. I'm not sitting down. I'm not quitting. I'm going to live for you, God. God, I need you. And I got to tell you something. The one that puts his trust in the Lord like that, he said, God himself will never put you to shame. He will never let you down. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He may scare you to death sometimes because he just shows up at the last minute. But you can count on this. He will be there. And he will come through. It says, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth. Your loins girt about with truth. These guys had some guards on their loins. But you know what else your loins are? They are the center of the physical strength of your body. They are what gives you the ability to move and to do things and to give you the strength. It doesn't matter if you're playing or working or running or whatever you're doing. Your loins, that's where your strength is. You're as strong as they are. And when Paul's saying, have your loins girt about with truth, I believe this is what he's saying, what the scripture says. Truth is the word of God. Truth is the understanding of God that transforms your heart and your mind. But because he said it's on your loins, I believe it's the truth you're walking in. Not just the truth you got in your head. Not just the truth that you got on the sticker on the refrigerator or the bumper on your car. But the truth that's written down in your heart that you are living in and walking out every day of your life. Because the Bible said, be doers of the word and not hearers only. If you're only listening to it and you're not doing it, you're deceiving your own self about your relationship with God and your ability to be able to overcome the enemy. Somebody posted on Facebook this past week. They said, you got to read the Bible, and I posted under it, and obey it. You know why? Because if you don't obey it, it's just words on a page. It's when you walk in the truth that you know. In church, wholeness and holiness and soundness in God means that we take the Christianity that we have in our heads and we line it up with the walk that we live out in our lives. And too many times there's a double standard between what we know in our heads and what we live out in our lives. And all that's going to do, if we're not putting it into practice, is make us guiltier before God. Because he said, he that knows to do good and doesn't do it, to him it's sin. And sin is not going to enter the kingdom of God. Sin is not going to bless your life. It's going to curse you. Sin opens you up to the enemy. And you got to get that out of your life. Learn to love God and go after God and be passionate about God. And don't try to just do the bare minimum of what it means to be a Christian. Read the Word of God. Get it down in you richly. And then live it and walk it out what you know. And I'll give you another little nugget. A lot of people say, well, I read the Bible, but I can't understand it. I challenge you. Just do what you do understand. Forget about what you don't understand. Just do it. It'll come to life to you. The light will come on for the rest of it if you walk in it. Have your loins girt about with truth. Walk the walk. Don't just talk the talk. Live out the Christianity that God has revealed to us through his word and that he reveals to us through his spirit. And then it says, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate, you know what the breastplate did? It covered the heart. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, he said, only the pure in heart will see God. Only those that are in right standing with God. That's what the word righteousness means. It means I am in right standing with God. The Apostle Paul, who was once a persecutor of the church, as he began to live for God, said these words in the book of Acts. He said, I seek always to have a conscience void of offense with both God and man. And what he meant by that is this: I want to walk rightly. I want to do right. I want to be right with my fellow man. I want to live with them peaceably and in a right relationship as much as lies within me, because a lot of people won't let you do that. But that's their problem, as long as your side of it's all right. And I need to be in right standing with God. You know, as a Christian, when you lay your head down at night to go to sleep, you need to be praying that prayer, and you need to know that this is a fact. I am in right standing with God my Father. There's nothing between me and my Lord. There's nothing that he can put his finger on and say, you didn't do this, you didn't do that, you should have did this, you should have done the other thing, you should walk in this. Nothing. And it should also be that way with our fellow man, because we're supposed to love God and our neighbor as ourselves. We're supposed to treat each other right. We're not supposed to lie to each other. We're not supposed to steal from each other. We're not supposed to harm each other or hurt each other. We need to just stay in right standing with each other, in right standing with God and with man, Paul said. That's what righteousness is. We come to God as a sinner. We come to God as black as coal. And in that moment, when we ask God's forgiveness and we say, God, I don't want to sin against you anymore. I want to live for you. We ask God to cleanse us and forgive us, and he does through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. At that moment, you are in right standing with God. What you need to do from that moment on is walk in the light as he is in the light. Walk in the understanding of the scripture that you have. And as long as you walk in the light as he is in the light, the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. Now, the minute you start doing something that you know to do good or right, or you start doing wrong that you know is wrong, you just stepped out of the light. If you're really born again, the Holy Spirit's going to convict your heart. He's going to tell you, don't go that way. Get back on the path. You know when you're doing wrong. That's the one thing you will know if you're born again. You will know when you miss it. And when you do, you don't need to get saved again. You just need to come back and say, God, forgive me of missing the mark. I'm back on the path, and just start walking in the path again. Stay in right standing with God and man. I was in a church service one time. I was sitting in the second row. There were about 800 people in this church service. My pastor, who was the pastor at the time, he got up and he said this. He said, if there's anybody in here that is in right standing, that is righteous and in right standing with God, he said, please stand up. I stood up. I didn't hear anybody moving. I looked down and my wife wasn't moving. I said, man, maybe I didn't hear something. Stick out like a sore thumb. The pastor looked at me. He said, this is what he said. He said, have you obtained the state of righteousness? That's what he said. And he looked at me, he said, you've obtained a state of righteousness. I said, I think so. Was that all you said? And he just looked at me for a minute. He said, you mean in Christ? I said, absolutely in Christ. He said, what about out of Christ? I sat down. I said, I'm down. I knew that was my cue. And he went on for a couple minutes, and then he stopped. And I thought I missed something again, because he pointed his finger at me. He said, he's right. He's right. Every one of us should have stood up. Why? Because we have been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And guess what? God's going to separate the righteous from the unrighteous one of these days, the sheep from the goats. You better be righteous. That means right standing with God. That's right. I am in right standing with God. I am walking with God. I'm walking in all the light that I know. That's where God wants you to be, and you need to be there all the time. Walking in the light as he is in the light, so that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses you from all sin. You say, Pastor, you ever made any mistakes? You ever sinned? You ever failed God? You know I have. None of us are perfect. We tell everybody all the time. like somebody thought we were. You know, nobody thinks anybody is. Well, I don't know. Carla thinks I am. I think she is too. But see, the thing is, you don't choose to do that. You don't practice that. You don't walk in it willfully all the time. You don't do it as a habit, because if you do, you need to get saved. That's when you need to get saved. Because walking in righteousness is walking in the path that God has called us to walk in. And you need to have on that breastplate of righteousness that covers your heart. And that's not self-righteousness. It's not holier than thou. That is the righteousness that's been imparted to you because of the presence of Christ in you and because of your willingness to live and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Have on the breastplate of righteousness. See, because here's the deal. If you're not righteous and you're not walking in that light, the devil might take you out while you're in that darkness. The Bible said the fear of the Lord is what causes us to depart from sin. You know why I try to walk and live and walk and talk as right as I can every second of my life? Because I'm afraid not to. You say you're afraid of God? Absolutely. I remember the first time I saw The Wizard of Oz. And the first time I saw the wizard, I was a little kid. Scared me to death. I couldn't hardly breathe. I'd just gotten over them monkeys, them flying monkeys. And here was this big round thing that they were all going to have to answer to. And I was like, ah! Now, he's not the Wizard of Oz, but we're going before the judgment seat of Christ one day. And you're going there by yourself. You're not going to be able to blame your husband, your wife, your kids, your mom, your dad, your grandma, your grandpa, your third grade teacher, the people that live down the street, your pastor, the deacons. You're not going to be able to blame anybody for anything. You're going to stand there and give account for you. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Start practicing now. There's a final exam coming up, and we've got the answer book. Don't wait till it's over to try to cram. It won't work. Find out what righteousness is, what rightness is, what right standing is, what being right with God is, and get in it. Get in the way. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Have that breastplate of righteousness on all the time. My wife and I were almost in a head-on collision some years back. And I always thought that if I had a split second right before I die, what I would say is, Jesus, come get me. There was a car in front of us, swerved out of the way. Here's two headlights dead on, nowhere to go. You know what came out of my mouth? As I felt like my body was melting through the springs in the seat, I said, I don't believe it. That's exactly what I said. And I don't think that's the words, if you're a sinner, you want to say right at the last breath. And I think to this day, God sent Gabriel down and just this car, a dump truck swerved off in front of us, hit the back wheels of this truck, head on at us, nowhere to go, and it flipped end over top of our car. The time I said, I don't believe it, because I thought this is it. We're done. And it just went whoosh over it. Sorry about that one. Just went over. About gave her a heart attack. She's already got a broke arm. It just went over the car. But you know, what I'm saying to you is, you may not have the time to square everything up right with God in your last few breaths. Now, I hope it was the last funeral for a while. Seven funerals in 7 weeks. I did the last one Friday. And a few of those people were terminally ill. And they had a lot of time to think about eternity and to think about God and to think about getting right. In fact, that's the only good thing I can see about terminal illness. But you know, most people, or at least the majority of people, aren't going to have 2 years or 3 years or 6 months or, you know, 3 weeks to get ready to be right with God. You need to be right all the time. Always have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward your fellow man. Breastplate of righteousness. Your feet are to be shod with the preparation of the gospel. They had Roman sandals. They might not look like, you know, much footwear to you, but in that day and time, for a soldier, that was an awesome upgrade. It really was. You know, most of the armies that they would fight were barefoot or worse. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. You know what the preparation of the gospel is? It's understanding the gospel well enough to know how to share it with somebody else, to tell them why they need to be saved and how they can get saved, to share the gospel with them. Oh, well, Pastor, we pay you to do that. No. Well, actually, you do. You know, I like to say to people, I get paid to be good. Most of them got to be good for nothing. But every one of us are called to be a witness for Christ. I already told you a couple weeks ago, that's the only reason he's left us here in this life, is to share the gospel with others. So we need to get our feet shod so that everywhere we go, we can give some kind of testimony or some kind of word. Now, I'm called to be an expert in sharing the gospel. You know what an expert is? An X is an unknown, and a spurt is a drop of water under pressure. But see, I'm supposed to really know the ins and outs and everything, and most of you will not know that, but you know what you can share? You can share what you know about the God that you know and what he's done for you, and you need to be ready always to give an answer to every man of the hope that lies within you. Share what you can with everybody you can. Every time you have an opportunity and the Lord opens the door. I got saved on a Monday morning on May 22nd, 1978. And I didn't want to tell anybody about it. Really didn't. I wasn't sure about a lot of things myself. But for that entire day, I was working in a factory with about 200 men. There were some women there too that worked there. I thought, well, you know, this just happened to me. I just got right with God. I just got saved. I don't know that much about it. I'm going to keep it to myself. I'm not going to tell anybody. Everybody I encountered that afternoon somehow would say something that the only answer I could give was, I gave my heart to Christ. The first time I tried to say that, it felt like I had wads of cotton in my throat. I couldn't even hardly get it out. I couldn't hardly say it. It was just so strange and so different and so unlike me and so unlike all the situations that I was in. But I did, and you know what? Every time I did, it got a little easier. Every time I did, I got a little stronger. I learned a little more. Now I can't shut up. I don't care if you're saved or not. I'll talk about God to you. If you don't want to talk about God, don't go with me. Right? Poor guys I play tennis with, some of them don't know God, and I'm talking about God all the time, and they're all the time just looking at me like, oh. They'll make a good shot, and sometimes they'll yell out and cuss, and I'll make one, and I'm like, hallelujah, praise God, look what I just did. They're good guys. I think they like me, but there's a few times here and there I think they're a little embarrassed. But see, the thing is, we just need to tell the good things of God, and we need to know that's a part of our responsibility to reach out to those around us as much as we can. Do everything that you can. Most of you know how I feel about Facebook. I have a love-hate relationship with Facebook. Some days I love it, and I love being able to be in contact with people and that sort of thing, but other days I hate it. It's getting worse. Is it just me, or it looks like the National Enquirer most of the time. Now, remember those magazines, you know, the baby's got three heads, and, you know, that at the stand? That's what Facebook's starting to look like, and I think, my Lord Jesus. Is this really who we are and what we are? But the reality is, people are lost. People are without hope and they're without God. And we need to speak up and tell them what we know about God and learn more. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel so that no matter where you're at or where you go, you shine for Jesus somehow, some way. See, I'm still trying to use Facebook for Jesus. I try to use my tennis for Jesus. I try to use my motorcycle riding for Jesus. I try to mow my lawn in a way that I can use it for Jesus. I try to be a good neighbor. I try to use everything I have to share Jesus with people. And God, that's all God wants you to do, the same thing. Use what you have. Some of the people that ministered to me years ago before I came to Jesus, they used cakes and sandwiches. She's not here this morning. She's probably working, but there's a lady here. Her ministry is chicken salad. Dead serious. I told you, the little lady Al Matu that was here a couple weeks ago, that's out of my apple pie ministry at McDonald's. Found out you can buy two cheaper than you can buy one. I buy two, and I sit there, and I eat mine, and I wait for somebody to come in that I think, yep, there they are. That's the one I need to give that to. And I became friends with Al Matu. I've become friends with a lot of people. I know everybody works at my McDonald's by name. They know me too. I pull up and they're like, if I don't have Carla with me, they're like, where's your wife? I said, you'll see her in a couple minutes. We're going two different directions today. She's in another car, but she'll be here. You say, why do you do that? Because sooner or later, they're going to be in need. Sooner or later, they're going to need somebody that knows God. Sooner or later, they're going to go through things in their life, and they're going to say, I know who to go talk to. Besides that, he gave me an apple pie. Use everything, church. Oh, man. Praise team, come to the platform, would you? My secretary is trying to make a cover for an album to put this series in. And she said, all right, how many of them are you going to do? I said, I have no idea. I said, just hold on. Just hold on. Church, we need to be soldiers for God. We need to stand up, show up, put up, clothe in the armor of God, and stand up in this dark world and be the Christians that God has called us and asked us and provided everything that we need to be. Everything. To be passionately in love with Jesus Christ. Not just dabbling in it a little bit here and there. To be passionate about God. Passionate about the things of God. Passionate about putting on the armor of God. While they're getting ready, we're going to worship. And we're going to let God minister to us in this altar. You're going to need this armor if you get your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. There was a place where a person in the book of Acts, they had watched Peter and they had watched Paul and some of the other apostles dealing with the devil in people's lives. They were helping people. They were healing people. They were changing people's lives. And they saw them also destroying the works of the devil in people's lives. And these seven sons of Sceva, it says in the book of Acts, they weren't really Christians and they weren't really walking with God, but they liked what they saw. They said, we're going to do that. We're going to go out and take hell on. We're going to take the devil on. And the Bible said that they went and they found this demon-possessed person and they said, in the name of Jesus, I adjure you to come out of him. And those devils cried out, and this is what they said. They said, Paul, we know. Jesus, we know. Peter, we know. But who are you? You're nobody. And the reason I share that with you, church, if you're really going to live for God, the devil's going to come after you. So you better get the armor of God on so that you can overcome the devil. Don't you want to live for Jesus so that every day when you slide out of bed and you put those 2 feet down on the ground, hell shakes a little bit. All the demons in hell said, oh my goodness, they are up again. They're balk. They're back. Because that's how we're called to live. That's the Christianity we're supposed to be living. We are supposed to be storming the gates of hell, not cowering down in a dark corner somewhere saying, oh my, you know, the devil's destroying me and everything around me. What am I going to do? That's not Christianity. Christianity is put on the whole armor of God. grow up, stand up, walk into things of God, and be the soldier God called you to be, because lives are at stake. Your life, my life, and the lives of those around us. Glory to God. You can do it. You can do it. God sent His Son to forgive you of your sins. He sent His Holy Spirit to give you the power. He gave you His Word to give you the wisdom and the understanding so that you know. What I'm saying to you is, put on all. Put on the whole armor of God. Amen. Would you stand and bow your heads, please, with me? Heavenly Father, I just come before You right now. God, the things that I'm talking about in all of our lives, Lord, they aren't things that happen in one service. They aren't things that happen in a week. They aren't even things that happen in a moment. God, they are things that happen through a life that is looking to You, a life that is hungry after You, that is so thirsty for righteousness, God, that Your promise that those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled. Father, I'm asking You to make us strong in You and in the power of Your might. I'm asking You to teach us and clothe us in the whole armor of God. I'm asking You, God, to transform this church into the mighty army of the Lord that it's supposed to be. Father, touch the weakest, touch the one that is furthest from You and draw them near to You. God, touch the one that is strongest, and Father, just fill them with wisdom and grace and love and mercy and strength. But God, build us in to a mighty army for You, Father. God, help us to reach our sons and our daughters. Help us to reach our grandkids. Help us to reach everyone around us, everyone that we encounter, Lord God. Let us be a city that's set on a hill that cannot be hid. Let this church and the people in it, Lord God, they are the church. Let us change this area, this tri-state area. Let us become a mighty weapon in Your hand, I pray. That is my prayer this morning. And Father, meet with us now in these altars. Meet every need, Lord. Touch the sick, heal the blind, open the ears of the deaf, raise the dead spiritually, Lord God. But let us have and experience Your life, Your love, Your peace, Your power. And Father, I ask it in Jesus' name. Have Your way now as we worship before You. Let's worship, church. Let's give Him glory and honor. Whatever needs you have this morning, God is the answer. There are people here that will pray for you and with you, or you just want to come and pray by yourself. Somebody might say, "Can I pray for you?" And if you're just wanting to seek the Lord yourself, say, "I'm good." And they'll move on to the next person. But let's worship and seek the face of the Lord together. Amen. Amen.